5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Welcome back, my friends. Hour number 3 of the Wendy Bell radio program. Delighted, as always, to spend time with you today. Remember, you can catch our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get yours, if you're not available for the whole show today. You know, some of the craziness of where we've been and where we are now, and the few people who seems like they'll never catch up. These people who've played God, they've played dictator, they've loved the magic wand of emergency power, of choosing winners and losers based on how you vote, how you pray, who you love, what you think, and whether or not you've been vaccinated. This is one of those cases. There's a woman I want to introduce to you. And she's joining us live from Ramona, California. Her name is Linda Geringer, and she has a story to tell about a life or death squeeze based on one thing, her desire to not be vaccinated. Linda, welcome to the program. It is an honor to have you here, my dear.
Good morning, Wendy. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know, I stumbled upon you when I was reading the Epoch Times the other day, and your story came up, and I was absolutely dumbfounded. I thought we've learned enough from the mistakes of the last several years to demonize someone who's able to make their own medical decisions and to prevent them from getting life-saving procedures. But that's not the case, dear. Tell everybody what you're going through.
Well, it was about 4 years ago when my doctor said, Linda, you need to get on the transplant list like yesterday. So I started looking around. My mom's neighbor had a transplant at Sharp's treatment center here in San Diego, and our whole family went to Sharp's hospital all the time. So I picked Sharp. I enrolled in it, and from day one, I told them I was not getting vaccinated. I had no desire to get vaccinated. So they all knew. So I went through all sorts of tests, oops and loops to jump through. And finally, almost a year later, it got down to where it was a Zoom meeting because it was during the COVID times. Mm-hmm. And so it was a surgeon, and I thought I was going to get on there, and he was going to tell me about the procedures and do you have any questions, that kind of stuff. So the whole time, he never once got into that. The whole time it was, why don't you want to be vaccinated? You sure you don't want to get vaccinated? And why don't you want to get vaccinated? And I told him, I said, my mom and I had a really good friend. She got the vax. And then 2 weeks later, she died from it. And I said, and I can't get any data from anybody. You know, what's the side effects? What's the tests that they did? And I said, you know, if I could read that, the data, maybe I could make an educational decision on, you know, maybe I'd take it. And that was pretty much the last words was, you sure you don't want to get vaccinated? And I said, no. And that was the end of the call. And when I got off that call, I knew in my gut that they were going to say they weren't going to do the transplant.
Now, wait, I'm going to stop you there. Now, you're at end-stage kidney disease, and so I want you to describe to everybody what that means. What's life like when you're at end-stage kidney disease?
You know, I can't take care of my family anymore. I used to run a successful business, and I can't take care of my family. My legs, my muscles are gone. You know, when I first started going to dialysis, I'd see all these people wheeling in wheelchairs, and I thought, wow, I'm almost at that. I use a walker now. I can't walk from the bedroom to the kitchen. I'd get out of breath. I had a heart attack because of my dialysis, because my blood pressure. Normal people, their blood pressure goes down in dialysis. Mine skyrockets up to 220. And that's what happened one day at dialysis. And my husband picked me up, and I never made it home. I had a heart attack. So I am limited to my chair. I feel like you feel like a burden on your family, because I used to be so outgoing. You know, I used to run my business. I used to go to all sorts of networking businesses things. Now I'm limited. I can't do nothing. My hair is falling out. My skin is like a 90-year-old woman now. It's deteriorating my body, and now I don't know if this is too much information, but I'm not at the end stage. You start not urinating, and that backs up in your body. Your feet swell up, your legs fill up, and the only way to get rid of that is through dialysis.
So you go through this whole process, and the process takes so long, and you go through the tests and the pricks and the prodding and all of this, and then it gets down to this. And am I mistaken here when I say that you find out that your daughter is a match?
Well, in the beginning, they told us at Sharps that she was a perfect match. So after I start getting on the phone, and I'm like, I can't go to Dallas. I can't go to Oklahoma City to move, because that's going to cost me at least $20,000. Because you got to stay there for 4 months afterwards to go back to that facility for testing. So I got on the phone and I found UCSD Medical Center here in San Diego. I thank God they don't discriminate against vaccinated people. So we start the whole process all over again. And it's taken almost a year. And we get over there and we find out my daughter is not a match. How can they make that mistake? How? So I think what they did is they knew I wasn't vaccinated. They gave me all those tests and got paid for it. They billed Medicare and got all that money. To me, that's fraud. You knew from the get-go you weren't going to do my surgery. So then we get to UCSD, and they tell us she's not a match. But we still have hope, because there's a program that has nothing to do with the government's national kidney transplant list, that it's like a pool sharing. She's going to donate her kidney to this group of people, and they find a match for her kidney for someone. Then they find another kidney for me. So that's where we're at right now. But it's taken almost 2 years, 2 years out of my life to get to this point. It's like they sentenced me to a death sentence when they said no.
Well, now people would say, well, then why don't you just get the vaccine? Why don't you just do it? And
You have? People have.
Yes.
Call me stupid. You know, you're stupid. You should have got the vaccine. And now look at all the people that are dying and have problems, that are dropping dead. People that have neurology, you know, there's something wrong with their brain now and they can't function. I thank God I didn't take it. I'd probably be dead, Wendy. Honestly, because that attacks the weakest part of your body.
What are doctors?
I probably would have been dead.
What do doctors say?
Oh, well, I have another doctor that kept pushing the vaccine on me.
But I mean about your prognosis, about what needs to happen, about time, about any of that. What are they telling you?
Well, I need it now. I need the kidney transplant now. So we're getting close. We're getting so close. And I just pray that I hang in there and I don't have another heart attack. Because it is deteriorating my body so quickly now.
I can't fathom that this is where we've come as a people. It's cruel.
It's this administration.
It's this cruel, vindictive thing. It's not about medicine. It's not about a Hippocratic oath anymore. It's about obeyance. And if not, it's punitive. And if that costs you everything, well, that's too bad. And that just sickens me.
It's all about control from the top.
Well, how can we help you?
Just get my story out there. And Senator Klein just passed, well, I don't know if he passed it or not. That's what I'm trying to find out. I emailed his office. He's put in a bill on February the 2nd on stopping this, that you cannot discriminate against people that are vaccinated.
Right.
So
we're supposed
I'm hoping
to be,
that goes through.
This is about diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, and it sounds like you're being mightily excluded. I want to thank you for your voice. And is it cool if the people in my circles pray for you, my dear?
Oh, thank you.
That's what we will do.
Thank you so much.
That is what we will do.
It is in God's hands.
I 100% agree with you, Linda. Thank you very much for your patience and for your time. And God willing, all of these things will happen and we'll be able to call back when you're healing and getting your life back. So keep smiling, my dear.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
All right.
I know you do.
I can hear it. You take good care. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to hear that. These are the stories that aren't making the mainstream news. Why? Because they believe they should be able to discriminate against you if you don't acquiesce to their request. How's that inclusion? How does that line up with all of this madness that we're browbeaten into having to believe and trust? Doesn't. It's ridiculous. It's indefensible. This woman's life could be saved. You know, I want to talk to you quickly before the break about Birch Gold. If you buy some gold, you could get a safe. Okay, so how about this? This is the thing through the end of the month. Our partners at Birch Gold, they have an A-plus rating, by the way, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers. And they encourage you right now through March 31st, if you buy a qualifying purchase of their precious metals, they're going to ship a free safe directly to your door. How do you find out more? You visit birchgold.com/Wendy. You're going to get a free information kit on gold and to claim eligibility for your free safe. You know, the Fed keeps raising the rates because it's the only tool they have to keep inflation under control. It is not working. You cannot spend your way out of the mess that they've created. But you need to get some physical gold in your hands. And you can by visiting birchgold.com/Wendy. Do it today. And like I said, the qualifying purchase is you could get a free home safe mailed to your door, birchgold.com/Wendy. Quick time out. What do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Do you believe that sort of stuff is going on out there, discriminating against some people who believe in their right to make their own mind? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. Don't go anywhere. How do you defend that? It was interesting. So for those of you who are new to the program, my husband is a cardiologist. He's called an interventional cardiologist, which is a subspecialty. It involves extra training, more years, et cetera, and it's very specific. He does heart catheterizations, and he does all sorts of different stents and things of that nature. He can go through the radial artery and the wrist and unclog something in the heart. I can't fathom what he does for a living and what is required. And he had a case the other day, and he was telling me about it peripherally. And he was just saying he finished his case and the woman didn't feel right. And usually when you open up someone's artery, it's just the blood flow immediately, the feeling that they have is replaced by, right? And they're on their table, they're somewhat sedated, but they have to be able to communicate what they feel, what's going on. And so he had gone through the artery and he'd gone through the, you know, up the arm and into the heart. And I, right? And after they were done, she started feeling worse. And he's like, what? I couldn't understand. And he went back and he's got a team with him. All of them have as much training as he does. The nurse, the tech, all these people are like top notch. And they're looking through, did they miss anything? Couldn't find it. So they, you know, went back in and did it again, blah, blah, blah. She's fine. But it bothered him all weekend. Wasn't even his patient, but he was on call. And so he had to call, he had to handle the emergency. And Monday came around, and again, she's not his patient. It's not even one of his partner's patients. It's somebody from the hospital. And he went back in, he had to drive back out to see her, like 35, 40 minutes, because he wanted to make sure she was okay. And he wanted to talk to the family. He needed to do that. It bothered him. He couldn't find out anything that was wrong. It made no sense. And he still doesn't have closure what was wrong. Bothers him. And I said, boy, that's really bothering you. And he's like, Wendy, I would hope that if anything ever happened to you or any of our five boys, the people I love more than anything in the world, that the way I feel about patients that I tend to would come back to me, and the doctor who was tending to you felt the same way and would do everything possible to keep you in my life. Where is that? Where did that go? It can't be gone. A virus and money should not supersede life or what is right. And yet we had to report on these allegations, which were then proven that there was a monetary thing. A scheme, if you will. I don't know what else you can call it. Compensation for hospitals and emergency rooms. If you admit somebody and they test positive for COVID, that's X amount of dollars. If you hospitalize them, you admit them, that's X amount of dollars. If they need to be ventilated, which we know had tragic results, and these America's Frontline doctors were like, what are you doing? Dr. Pierre Corey, the pulmonologist who we've had on this program multiple times, was like, no, you're killing people. Away with you. He got banished from his medical system, lost his job. Pack your bags. How dare you tell the truth? We have money to make. God forbid you needed to give somebody remdesivir, which was almost a death sentence, or they died. Ding, 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 ding. Biggest payout yet. Does that supersede humanity? And doing what is right. And do these people ever have that look in the mirror day when they're like, good God, what have I done? Oh, I hope so. I believe in a God of even. I do. But this is where we are now, playing games with people's lives for either monetary payout to a medical system that likely long ago lost our confidence, or to people who are just dark, who believed you need to do what they did. Get the shot. It's despicable. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we have a very interesting little, well, you know what? It's never fun to end with the view, but might be actually very delicious. What can Whoopi Goldberg and Sonny Hostin do to pick up our spirits? Wait for it next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. We need that. So welcome back to the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So yesterday I had my irons in the fire, hence my ire. And I was talking about this ridiculous thing that happened at Stanford University. And I'm so tired of adults being terrible examples for people who are adults, but who behave and have been coddled like babies and children all of their life. And yesterday in the third hour of the program, I went off on an unscripted soliloquy where I was talking about the quality of parenting in this country. And if it offended you, good, it probably should have, because perhaps you're the one who needed to hear it. However, I doubt it was you, because there seems to be a very specific realm of people whose children seem to believe that they deserve to be rude, that they deserve to riot, to rage, to react, and to never, in fact, ever do their due diligence, good gravy, and figure out if what they're being told, what they are being spoon-fed, is propaganda, which usually it is. And so we go back to the Stanford University, where this federal judge, Trump-appointed judge, is invited by the Federalist Society chapter on campus. Come to our law school. We would be delighted to have you here. What is this, the second or third highest rated, I just made up a word, rated, law school in the country. Come and talk to us and share some of your ideas about the challenges of litigating and presiding over cases during COVID and dealing with social media, et cetera, et cetera. And so he's like, all right. And he comes out and Kyle Duncan, I believe is his name. And he's about to speak, but unbeknownst to him, there's been all these flyers circulating, social media posts flying. Protest this guy because in 2020, he refused to use a transgender sexual offender's preferred pronouns when he sentenced this guy to whatever he needed to be sentenced to. And the triggered leftist army of just outrage decided to cherry pick that particular ruling without doing a deep dive on what was going on. And the reality that you don't get to choose your own pronouns, because that's called insanity. And those of us who live in reality aren't playing your stupid game. I'm not down for it. Ever. And neither was this judge. So as he got up to speak, every time he opened his mouth, they would blah, 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 you know, shout something. They had terrible sexual allegations about him, terrible names about him, to the point where he had to ask for security to get the heck out. So there's video that has transpired in the hallway as he's literally gathering his briefcase and his coat, leaving Stanford University premises, and the activists are still in his face. You're a blah, blah, blah. How dare you? And I'm not going to rehash the point where the associate dean of the law school's diversity, equity, and inclusion has gotten up and said, why did you even come? Don't you understand what harm you do? You make us all so uncomfortable. Your loathsome rhetoric. Wow. If this is what our kids are learning, we're screwed. So he's leaving and he calls one of the young ladies, and I'll use that nicely. What do you call her, Brock? He called her a name that wasn't really all that offensive, but it was sort of like, you know, you're sort of a triggered twit is essentially what he said. And I'll look it up. So The View picked up on this. The View picked up on this. Now, they could have said, you know, we probably should get back to the days when we had respectful dialogue, where you could be of one mindset, whatever it is, political, religious, whatever. And I can be of a different one, and we can still talk without reacting to one another, because it's okay to have your own point of view. It's called being an American. It's beautiful. It's why people die to get here, right? You're free. Instead of having that analysis and saying it was a bad look of the law school, something as highly rated as Stanford, I mean, it's bad anywhere, but Stanford for the students and then the associate dean of diversity, equity, and inclusion to get in the judge's face and be like, why did you even come? You make us all feel unsafe. Was really kind of beyond the pale. They could have said that. That's not what they said. I'm going to let Whoopi Goldberg in her infinite wisdom, step in an excrement pie right now for you and show you what she had to say. Go ahead.
So the university sent Judge Duncan an apology letter claiming staff and students acted inappropriately. But I think back to the State of the Union, and this is what we're teaching people to do. We're teaching people how to be inappropriate, yelling at the President of the United States, calling him a liar, doing all these things that now our students are saying, well, if it's okay for you to do it, and you're supposed to be a lawmaker, I feel the same way because this is my right. So maybe all the snowflakes in the world need to get over the fact that people are going to disagree with them. You see, it's not just one side or the other. Everybody has to understand this is how we live. We don't all agree. We do disagree. Yes. And it's your right to stand up and say, hey, I don't agree. And then either leave or let somebody else tell you what the issue is. But we don't show our kids that. We show them the nasty part now.
Wait, I don't even understand what the hell she's saying. She's trying to allege that because Marjorie Taylor Greene at the State of the Union last year, or whatever February it was, God, was it just February? Whenever it was, that she yelled liar at Joe Biden when he was talking about the southern border or whatever he was talking about. And she said liar. And that is teaching our children, this is the wrong message. This is what you get when this is what you do, right? How about Nancy Pelosi, Whoopi, ripping up Donald Trump's State of the Union while wearing all white in some show of solidarity with all the other hack Democrats, the ladies there who were bemoaning whatever they were bemoaning, ripping up the State of the Union. That didn't send a message? As the third in line to the presidency, Whoopi, you've got your facts a little wonky. And she's trying to allege that this is how we're supposed to now talk. You're allowed to go to some place and without any facts, without any data, without any knowledge, just because you've been spoon-fed, because you're a clone trooper and you long ago stopped thinking for yourself. It's easier to be outraged than educated. It is easier to react than it is to read. Unfortunately, that boomerang is a bummer, isn't it? When it comes back and bonks you in the beezer. Exactly. So here's Sunny Hostin. She's a lawyer herself who alleges that it's the judge's fault that this devolved, that he should have been above any kind of commentary saying that these students acted in an abhorrent fashion. This is what she thinks. This is a lawyer. This is what a triggered activist responds as. Go.
To me, what was so offensive is that one of the first classes you take in law school, in constitutional law, teaches you about the freedom of speech. Mm. And college and law school is a wonderful place to have this exchange of ideas. It gets heated sometimes. I speak around the country, and so do you a lot. And you teach a class. You speak around the country. We all do. And that's the part that I like. I like the Q&A. I mean, you know, come at me. Let's have those discussions because that is what the free exchange of ideas is about. We have a clip of what this judge, when he was exercising his free speech, said to one of the students.
You don't respect the assignment. It's disgusting.
So he called her an appalling idiot. I think that's beneath the dignity of a judge. I think when you have a younger law student come to you, and I've had some of them really kind of heckle me and attack me, and I'm like, all right, you done? Let me respond. That's the free exchange of ideas that we should have seen here.
Do you guys find anything wrong with appalling idiot? It's exactly the answer.
I thought it was fitting.
I think it is absolutely fitting. You are an appalling idiot. She's getting in his face saying, you're this and you're that. I guarantee you, if he had stopped and everybody was quiet, and they're not able to be, when you lose in the realm of ideas and facts, the only thing you have left are feelings, rage, reaction, yelling, shouting, destruction. This is what feeds Antifa, right? If he had said to her, tell me what you know about me that you find so offensive, factually. Take your emotions, leave them at the door. Tell me. Nothing. That student would know nothing. Those are future lawyers and judges. And that is the kind of analysis you get when people are hook, line, and sinker irrational leftists. An appalling idiot. I could have thought of a million other things that were far more incendiary to say. And he said it exactly right. Your behavior is appalling. And how you address me and handle this situation makes you appear to be an idiot. An appalling idiot. We can't make excuses for these people. And Sonny Hostin wants to make excuses for the behavior of those students. That is not called decorum. What happened at UC Davis when Charlie Kirk was invited to speak is not decorum. It's called madness. And anybody on the left who wants to justify that should be part of the bill, footing the bill to clean it up. That, my friends, would be sweet justice. It would be sweet for you to earn 5% interest on a deposit of $100,000 or more, would it not? Safe money annuity, that is what it is. Tom Yacopin and his team at West Penn Life and Health invite you to call 724-228-7187 to find out more about some of his products that he offers. The 5-year safe money annuity, probably the most popular. And it is exactly what it sounds like. You set aside a chunk of money and you don't look at it or think about it for 5 years. And every single year, it earns 5% interest. Locked, guaranteed. If you have less than that, but at least $25,000, you'll earn 4.8% interest. So again, 724-228-7187. Doesn't matter where you live. They'll answer. And you can go to westpennlife.com for more information. That's Penn with two N's, westpennlife.com. All right. So the kind of people that Sonny Hostin and Whoopi Goldberg get behind are the kinds of people who do videos like the one you're about to see next. You're being told that this is the new reality and do not push back against it. Acquiesce. Yeah, I don't think so. You decide. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Well, I guess you can say if the ladies on The View don't like federal judges, right? They think, oh, these federal judges, how uncouth to call somebody that awful term, right? They have to love these trans activists. And I just want you to see, here's a guy who thinks he's a girl. He's wearing a dress. He has a beard. He has painted nails. I believe his toenails are even painted, which is extra super spicy.
How you doing?
I know. And he's got a cute little thing in his hair like a bandana that's tied like Rosie the Riveter. And this is the message that these people want your kids to be absorbing in school. Go.
Yesterday, this well-meaning older gentleman asked me if I was depressed because I've been growing out my beard lately. I was like, no, I'm growing out my beard because I love myself and because I'm confident in my body. I did this little curtsy and he laughed and the whole room was smiling at me. It was a beautiful moment. And it was then I realized I'm finally stepping into my own power, enough to be vulnerable with the world. Because 7 months ago, I was doing this whole bearded lady mask femme look and I loved it. But when I had to go to the VA just to get housing and get into a transitional living program and become part of the system, I shaved it off because I was afraid not to be taken seriously as a woman. So I just want to encourage you today. There's no right way to be a woman, okay? Let's just go ahead and break that binary. Some women have facial hair. Some women shave their armpits. Some don't. Some men have vaginas. Some women have
negative
penises. Get over it. All right? So I challenge you today to love and express yourself recklessly. You're one of a kind, doll. So I just wish you the best of days and be safe out there, okay?
Oh, for the love of all that's holy. I just want you to know
that... I don't
want
to date those women.
You don't?
No.
I just want you to know that some men have vaginas and some women have penises. Said no one who doesn't need a therapist. Can we just call a spade a spade? Look, I feel for the left because they're on the losing side of everything. They choose the side that sucks repeatedly. See, we didn't care about stuff for the longest time and then they pushed it. it wasn't about equality. It was about extra. We need to do extra. We need to let men pretend that they're women. We need men to infiltrate Women's History Month. Where are all the freaking women's libbers out there? Where are all the people who are at? Where's Alyssa Milano? Where are you, honey? Where's all the people with the hats who were protesting Brett Kavanaugh? Where is that? Where are the activists of the 60s and 70s who were like, women's lib, where are you? Because the dudes are taking over. They're swimming in our pools. They're playing in our courts, right? They're doing everything that we're supposed to be doing. They're even becoming women of the year. Really? This is what the new normal is? No wonder you people are always angry. No wonder you're always mad. Because you're on the side of suck. Always. Go ahead, Brock.
No, I think you summed it up pretty good there. I did. Where are the women who
aren't fought, freaks?
Well, they fought for Title IX.
Thank you.
Where are they? Mm. It blows my mind.
These people are infiltrating everything that you fought for. Where is Megan Rapinoe with her purple hair demanding to be paid commensurate to the men? Where's she? How would you like a dude on another women's team to kick your butt? Because he would. Thank goodness we've got this to fall back on. It just makes me feel just kind of so much better about the world. Right, Brock?
Yeah, it just needed a little tweak at the end.
Did it? Huh. See, and I felt I needed an audio intro, and you didn't think so.
Well, I can give you that audio intro. Would you like it?
I would, thank you. Lights, 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 yeah. Lights, 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 yeah. Well, there you go. What are we talking about? Well, we thought we'd put together a little montage of Joe Biden's top 11 lies for you. Let's see how many you've heard. Go.
Has said that he never spoke to his son about his overseas business dealings. Is that still the case?
Yes.
The most common price of gas in America is $3.39, down from over $5 when I took office.
I've been in and out, not as obviously combatant, but in and out of Afghanistan, Iraq, and his areas 38, 39 times.
And this doesn't violate anybody's Second Amendment right. When the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody can own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon. You couldn't buy a cannon.
One of the conductors said to me, hey, Joe, big deal. Million, whatever, 200. He said, you've traveled over 1,000,000 miles on Amtrak. I said, how the hell do you know that? And they added it up.
I was appointed to the Academy in 1965.
I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home. I got stopped when I was a young senator trying to see Nelson Mandela in South Africa. Afterwards, when he got released, he came to see me in Washington. And he walked up to me and said, thank you.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had, the only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
You know what? It's wrong of me to laugh because it's so sad.
How many lies did he leave out?
It's so sad, right? I would almost embrace that trans activist weirdo guy who's claiming that he curtsied for somebody and he's trying to be ruthless with himself. Like, what does that even mean? Just be honest with who you are, even though what you are is fraudulent. But be fraudulent honestly. I think we all need a therapist now, ladies and gentlemen. There we go.
I think this world would be better off if people saw more therapy.
100.
Sought out more therapy.
100%. We'll see you back here in 21 hours, guys. Love you. Peace.